Blog Talk Radio.
Children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind us how we used to be. Everybody's searching for a hero. People need someone to look up to. I never found anyone who fulfills my needs. A lonely place to be. So I learned to depend on me. To me, I found the greatest love of all inside of me. The greatest love of all is He. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind us how we used to be.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Harold Parker. I'm the moderator for today's final broadcast of Men of Honor Roundtable Discussion, Season 2, Episode 3 of the Tribe Family Channel in association with Gumbo for the Soul Publications, proudly presents a panel discussion just for men. This brotherhood circle converges to encourage and support each other in the areas of health and wellness, life and leisure, balance and soulmates, and lastly, mentors and role models. Gentlemen, I would like to welcome you to the show. I have Mr. Tavron Mason. He's a former NFL wide receiver for the New York Jets. Mr. Donald Williams, who's an Army vet and author, and also Richard Warren, the vice president of DEI, and if I understand the acronym correctly, is Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion for Charleston Metro Chamber of Commerce. Welcome, gentlemen. Now, I would like to start with about each of you. Can you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit more about yourselves? And we will start with Mr. Tavron Mason.
Hello, how y'all doing today, fellas? I appreciate you allowing me to come on to the show, especially this episode with a roundtable of all the men to talk about some things that, you know, sometimes we don't like to talk about. But my name is Tavron Mason, born and raised in Baltimore, Maryland. Went to University of Virginia, where I graduated. I like to say graduated. Went on to be a free agent with the New York Jets in 2002, 2003. Played 1 year arena football, and then I got into coaching, working in the community with my Tavron Mason Little Kids Foundation. I wrote 3 books. One of them I co-wrote, a black superhero comic book, The Justice Duo. My personal children's book, Tavron Does It All, and an online ebook. That's like one of my big things. That's like my big thing.
Amen. I love it. I absolutely love it. And anytime you can write a book, it takes a high level of intelligence to do so and a lot of thought process to do that. So I definitely commend you on your accomplishments. I love football, and I was a player in high school. Didn't get as far as college, but I have my dream, so I commend you. I have a thing for us players out there, and you're a wide receiver. I know it takes a lot of strength and energy to do the things and commitment to do the things that you do. Thank you, Mr. Mason. Now I'd like to go to Mr. Donald Williams, an Army vet and author. How are you, sir? Mr. Donald Williams, are you there? You may be on mute. If not, we'll skip over you this time and come back to you. Mr. Richard Warren, Vice President of DEI, Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion at the Charleston Metro Chamber of Commerce. Are you there, sir? Okay, there seems to be a sound check problem there. Mr. Mason, are you on? Can you hear me clearer?
Yes, sir. I can hear you.
All right. And we have our other two guests on. Donald Williams, are you there, sir? All right. So perhaps they're having sound difficulties or technical difficulties right now. We're going to go ahead and continue the show. If they do tune in, I may get a text knowing if they're not there or what have you, it'll be fine. We'll just continue on what we're doing. But nevertheless, the show must go on. So we're going to talk about health and wellness right now. As far as I know right now, we have Mr. Tavron Mason. You're on the scene. So we define health by being free from illness and wellness, a state of being in good health. Now, Mr. Tavron Mason, or I said Mr. Mason, from a scale of 1 to 10, and 10 being the highest where you do rank health and wellness, what do you rank that right now in health and wellness? What would that be for you, a scale of 1 to 10? Where would you rank that?
A scale of 1 to 10, I would rank that now. I'll say at a 8 to a close 9.
Okay, and a particular reason why?
Just because over the years, you know, and any of the listeners that are listening, when you're young, you don't put it as high, because when you're young, you just think that, you know, you can get up and you go, and we could. You know, you can just get up and roll, I'll be okay. You get like 3 hours of sleep, you pop up, I'll be okay. But even if, you know, you had people telling you that you need more sleep or you need to exercise, you need to eat better, you don't listen to it until, to me, in my and just seeing it, unless something happened to you personally or you see someone close to you that tends to fall because of health issues and when you make that switch. So I put it to that level now because of past experiences and stuff that I saw with family members, with friends who didn't take their health at a higher level, and it did cause complications, and now I see it on a higher level to make sure that changes. I can break that kind of, like, I don't want to say curse, but to break that stigma in the family.
Ah, wonderful, wonderful. As I understand now, we do have Mr. Richard Warren who is here. Mr. Richard Warren, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can. How are you?
I am doing great. It is very good to hear from you. And just again, just to introduce you, you're the vice president of DEI, and that, as far as my understanding, it means the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, a Charleston Metro Chamber of Commerce. Is that correct?
That's correct, sir. Thank you.
Awesome. Can you just tell us a little bit about yourself? We'll just play catch up here for a moment.
Oh, absolutely. And my apologies for being late. I got out of Bible study a little bit late, so my apologies to everyone. Charleston, South Carolina is where I'm from, and that's where I am now. And really on a journey and a path, and I felt as God led to try to help minorities and to do better and to be better in the space that we're in. You know, Charleston is a very historic town for good and bad reasons, and we're definitely at a place now where you can almost say history is repeating itself, and we haven't learned from some of the lessons that happened to the older members of our families and the older generations. So really just trying to bring awareness to the space of diversity and give our people the chances and the opportunities that they rightfully deserve. And, you know, that's me in a nutshell. Got one son, 19 years old, driving me crazy. And got a mother that's 81, and she got me going crazy on the other end. So I stay pretty busy.
I totally understand. I definitely do. It's very nice to meet you. And just as I had asked Mr. Mason, I'm going to ask you the same question when it comes to health, being free from illness and wellness, the state of being in good health. From a scale of 1 to 10, being the highest, 10 being the highest, where do you rank your health and wellness, and why?
You know, that's a beautiful question. And that's a very thought-filled question. I'd like to sit here and say, you know, it's a 10. Probably say it's somewhere about a 7. I'm blessed to have a doctor in my family. My sister's a doctor, and I grew up in a very rural area, and I grew up during a time where we didn't always have access to proper health care, whether it be for financial reasons or transportation reasons or not knowing how to fully express or say what was wrong with us, or feeling that, you know, this shouldn't be wrong with me, so I shouldn't say anything. But over the years, as I've gotten older and matured, you know, I've learned that it's no weakness in saying, hey, I don't feel good, or this doesn't feel right, or I know I need to eat better, or I know I need to exercise more. And, you know, I'm conscious of what I feel physically and mentally, and I try to make those adjustments now. You know, we got that stigma in the Black community where, you know, mental health is a sign of weakness, or, you know, if you have problems with your mental health, it's a sign of weakness and a problem that you should be able to deal with. So we resort to those old methods of, you know, self-medication, whether it be, you know, drugs or alcohol or whatever. But I've been blessed to have a resource, and, you know, and that's my sister, that, you know, has taken the time to really explain to me that, you know, health and wellness is a gift that we need to protect and preserve. So whatever you need to do to make yourself whole, that's what you need to do. So, you know, I'm on that journey, and I got some improvement to do. But I say if I had to give it a number, I'd say it's about a 7.
Well, excellent, excellent. And I can definitely relate to the both of you, and I'm also on a journey of becoming a better version of myself, and I'm competing against myself, especially when it comes to health and wellness. I rate, and one of the things that you brought up, Mr. Richard, Mr. Warren, is mental health. So I rank at number 10 because without the mind, nothing can happen. And also that if we're not healthy, how can we help others who depend on us? How can we be available for them if we're not in good health? And how are we affecting them? And what are the consequences or the collateral damage or ripple effects in ways that we affect others? So that's why I rank health, especially mental health, and we're going to talk about that in a moment, number 10 being the highest of them all. Health, as far as even a good spiritual health. You know, I was on recently on a detox, and I heard this little still voice that you're detoxing for your body, but what about your soul, you know? And so having being spiritual healthy is just as important as being mentally and physically healthy. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to jump right into our next question. In today's society, people are very busy. How will you advise them to set their health and wellness as a priority? How can they break the mindset of being nonchalant? And we're going to start with Mr. Mason this time. Can you help us out, Mr. Mason?
Yes, sir. I think the key now is continue to be that voice for people. What I've learned since I deal with the kids in the community and young teenage and young adult through mentoring and through my foundation and their families, being consistent. You know, the one thing that I saw, like when I was still playing ball and would go home or go places for camps. You know, you have guys that will come out, other players that will come out, they'll say a few things and they'll leave. That's not consistent. But myself and one of my friends, we would stay around for the full camp to help the kids and the parents like that. So I think that's the same way when it comes to trying to help friends, trying to help family with slowing down sometimes. And taking that moment, but being consistent with it, even when they push you away, whatever, I'm not doing that. I'm not listening to that. Continue to be consistent. You know, not doing it in a way where it might make them feel bad or tear them down, but be, you know, put it in the perspective to where, you know, what is your goal? Do you want to see your kids go to, or do you want to see your grandkids go to prom? Things like that. And saying, you know what? I'll do it with you. Okay. You know, being that buddy, you know, that accountability buddy, that's like a huge thing, that accountability piece. And like you said, with technology growing at every minute and we have it at the palm of our hand, we can do anything we want with technology. Even you think about even in our cars now, the newer cars are full of technology. It's just having that moment to be able to disconnect. And if you're that accountability person, just to keep reminding, don't stop and don't give up on that person, even though it doesn't seem like they're listening to you. They hear you, but at some point they have to catch it as well.
Awesome. Awesome. Now, Mr. Warren, what do you have to say about that when it comes to in today's society where people are very busy? How would you advise them to set their health and wellness as a priority and break that cycle or that mindset of being nonchalant? And I definitely agree with you, Mr. Mason. One of the things that I did learn was that, and this was during the last show, that even activities doesn't take the place of exercise. But I want to hear Mr. Warren's take on this right now. Mr. Warren?
All right. Well, I definitely agree with what Mr. Mason said. And, you know, for me, it was I always thought that the harder I worked, the better I was, right? I thought, you know, a 14-hour workday was what a man should do, and the more I worked, the more opportunity would be given to me. And all it was doing was burning me out. It was making me a less better version of myself. So, you know, I really looked at the things that brought me separation from my workday and the stresses of life. And for me, I love physical fitness. I'm in the gym at least 4 days a week, but I also journal probably 4 days a week. And that's a really good release for me mentally, spiritually, emotionally. You know, if something's going good and I want to, you know, express it, I can write it. If something hadn't gone the way I expected and I'm disappointed, I can write it. So between those two things, you know, they give me a balance. And when I go back to work, I can put in an honest day's work. It don't have to be 10 hours or 12 hours. You know, I can do my 8 hours that I promised them, do it in a way that's effective. And when that time is up, that time is up. And now it's time for me to save some time for myself or for my spirituality or my mental health or my physical health or just spending time with my family. So it takes a little bit of separation there and knowing that it is okay to separate and unplug from the duties of the day.
I love that. And I know that Mr. Mason, I'm sorry,
I was going to say I agree with Mr. Warren. I was just like Mr. Warren. So I would do everything for everybody. I didn't know how to say no. You know, I didn't know how to say no, even with my organization. If people, oh, can you come be a guest here? Oh, yeah, I do it. And what it took, and just like I said earlier about it, if something happens to you, so I forgot what year was, but my turning point, like Mr. Warren was, I had got Bell's palsy. So basically, anybody who listens will know, Bell's palsy, basically, the one side of your face is paralyzed. So, like, the left side of my face stopped working, just out the blue. And, you know, talking to a doctor. And the doctor said that, you know, it could come from stress, you're doing too much. And I'm 42 now, but this was like mid to early 30s. So it wasn't, you know what I mean? And that's the thing that made me switch everything. I didn't rush to tell people yes. I didn't rush to jump to invites. I did it on my own time. Just like Mr. Warren, like when it was shutdown time, I disconnected from social media. Like now and at night, once I get off the call with y'all, I power my phone completely down just to move me away from it, because I got to that point. I had to realize, like, I'm jumping for everybody. But yet, if I put an invite out there for one of my events, it would take them weeks or almost a month. Well, I had to contact them. My people had to contact them a couple of times before they said, oh, yeah, I come. But when it was reversed, I would jump automatic. So I had to start looking at myself, just like Mr. Warren, like, what is my value to myself? Am I value high when I'm jumping this and I'm in everybody's thing? Or am I value high when I make when I say yes or no, when I give the answers to questions? So I had to find myself, just like Mr. Warren.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I love how you put you value yourself, you know, and I brought something up during the last show. Of course, I was the one being interviewed. Is, you know, what do you deserve? You know, what do you deserve? A lot of times we look at others, and like you say, Mr. Mason and Mr. Warren, you guys help other people. But do you ever, like, look in the mirror to see what is it that you deserve? And it sounds like you have done that, which shows me you sound like you gentlemen are very evolved, especially in today's society, you being age 42 and actually being able to have the mental capacity to evaluate yourself. It sounds like that you're very evolved as men, and we need more of that of today. So I congratulate you both on that. I want to touch on mental health. Now, many are sick or dying because of stress that you gentlemen just brought up and anxiety, whether it comes from finances or relationships. What advice would you give someone in order to cope with the what challenges that they are facing on this subject matter? We're going to start with you, Mr. Mason.
I say, Mr. Warren already said it. You know what I mean? Putting that wall down and getting rid of that pride. You know, I know as men and the way society deems us, is we have to be the security guard, the provider. You know what I mean? We can't have off days. We got to carry the brunt of things on our shoulders. But knowing when to say when or knowing when to say enough is enough. And like Mr. Warren said, ask for help or go to talk to somebody. You know, don't be afraid, because the more we hold in, that's that tea kettle bubbling. And when it's ready to tip, that's when sometimes we ask for help, or sometimes it's too late and, you know, there's no going back. So I would say to ask for help, and don't be afraid to ask for help.
Absolutely. Now, how about you, Mr. Warren?
Well, I got to circle back and agree with Mr. Mason. You know, Mr. Mason said he was 42. I'm 45. You know, I had a funny thing happen when I was younger. We grew up in a single-parent home. My father wasn't around much. My parents were never married. But my grandfather lived right down the street from us. And, you know, that was the father that I knew. When I was 15, he passed. And, you know, young man in a rural community, didn't know anything about depression or things of that nature. So, you know, I just carried it. And I'm like, man, you know, I still get sad thinking about my grandfather. Now I'm 20. Now I'm 25. Now I'm 30. You know, at the age of 35, I'm like, this ain't normal. And I scheduled an appointment with a therapist. And I went. She was like, man, you're suffering with depression, and it's just so clear and obvious. You know, how could you not notice? And I'm like, I'm a man. I ain't supposed to be depressed. Like Mr. Mason said, I can't have an off day, but I've been off for 20 years basically because I didn't take a step to intervene in what I was feeling, because in my mind I couldn't validate it. So, you know, now I just, you know, I pay attention to where I am. Mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically, I take account for what I do and where I am. And if I'm not feeling all right, you know what? It's okay for me to not feel all right. Okay for me to not do anything about it. And that's just a promise I made to myself. I got a son who's 19, and his mother and I are divorced, but I promised him he would have his father around. And for me to keep that promise, I got to take care of me, and that's the commitment that I'm in.
Wonderful.
And that's a great Wonderful. Commitment. I am back.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And I appreciate that. It looks like our other esteemed guests have came on. Mr. Donald Williams, who is an Army vet and author. Mr. Donald Williams, are you there, sir?
Yes, I am.
Awesome. Well, it's good to have you. And, hey, you know, it's better late than never.
Absolutely, so, absolutely.
Yeah.
You have to be present and or accounted for.
Yes. So, Mr. Wells, we went down a couple of things here in the subject matter here. We're talking about health and wellness. And with you being an Army vet, I'm not going to go back and just revisit all those questions like that so we can pick up where we left off. But I would like for you to elaborate on yourself and just give us an idea about who you are and what do you do now, being that you are Army vet and author. And then you can even tell us about your book that you have written.
All right. So thank you. Sorry for whatever issues I was having. I had been using a wired headset and hadn't had any problems up until now, and I actually jumped off the show and made a few phone calls, and no one could hear me, so then I had to run out to my truck and get my Bluetooth to make sure it was working. I called somebody, said, oh, yes, it's working just fine. And so I said, well, okay, now let me jump back on the show. So I apologize for that. That was all upon me. And that is correct. I am a Army veteran. I spent 15 years active duty. I did 1 year in the Army Reserve to try to work toward retirement, but the lifestyle was too different from active duty to reservist, so I had to go ahead and let it go. As far as books go, I am working on converting one of my children's books into one of my poems into a children's book, excuse me. I am a published poet and a God-gifted writer. I haven't been educated other than basic English in high school, but the Lord has blessed me with the gift to be able to write words to move people. I actually had to commit to memory one of my poems that got published, which I used my gift to help men know how to love women, because most men are a little shaky in that area. And so I wrote a poem entitled "How Do You?" It's true. You know, it's a proven fact. You don't know what you don't know, and there's no truer statement. And so, "How Do You Love a Woman?" is basic guidelines for men to help them know how to love women, because men are simply complicated and women are complicated simply.
Absolutely. I love that subject matter, and we're definitely going to get into that topic and hope to hear a lot from you when we get down to soulmate. That's one of our topics that we're talking about, is balances and soulmates. So we definitely will be touching bases with that. Now, Mr. Donald, Mr. Williams, we were asking the question here about mental health, and when we were saying that many are sick or dying because of stress and anxiety, whether it comes through the finances or relationships, what advice will you give someone in order for to help cope them, for them to cope with the challenges that they are facing with these subject matters?
First and foremost, you have to know who you are. You have to know what makes you who you are. You have to know what makes you happy with who you are. And until you are familiar with those areas about self, it's hard to do anything else. And I actually jumped back on when I believe it was Mr. Davis was talking about how he had been depressed for 20 years and didn't realize it. And we have been set to a certain standard. And so we live in those realms, not knowing that, hey, we are actually putting ourselves under duress. And the best thing to do is to step outside of where you are, what you're doing, find a place of peace so that you can actually reevaluate, and address how you're living.
Wonderful. If I can add, for those that can't even afford, like, therapists, because I heard Mr. Mason earlier, and I believe also Mr. Warren say, as far as in resources, if you can't afford a mentor, you can always be resourceful and you know, go to YouTube, do some video searches, go to Google, do some video, you know, some searches on some of the symptoms that you're experiencing and why. It's funny how even Google works, that you can type in a situation that you're in, and it actually start giving you some different theories and results about which way some of your symptoms and which way you can go. So I just thought that was unique. You gentlemen said that, but I wanted to add that, so hopefully that can add value to those listeners that are listening. We want to jump right into, and thank you. Thank you, sir, for your input, Mr. Williams. And again, I'm glad to have you and glad you got your technical difficulties situated. But I want to jump right into the topic here of life and leisures. And I want to know from each of you, what comes to mind when you think about life and quality? I want to start with Mr. Mason.
So life and quality for me now, of course, is my family, being a good dad, and also being a good role model for those who I help out. my leisure. I love working out. I got into bike riding, so that's kind of like my peace moment, being able to do that and being able to get out and disconnect. You know what I mean? I had to teach myself how to disconnect. And as I said earlier, the thing that helped me do that was, you know, after experiencing Bell's palsy, that helped me reconfigure myself. So, you know, life and leisure is definitely family, you know, making memories with the family, staying connected with my brother. You know, I'm the baby brother. He the oldest brother. So we recently moved to Georgia last year. And I live like 5 minutes away, 5 minutes from my brother. But prior to last year, I would see my brother on and off with me living in Baltimore. So now I'm getting the opportunity to be close to take advantage of that. So that's kind of like my thing. It's like the biggest thing now is family and continue to grow and continue to help.
Awesome. Now, how about you, Mr. Williams? When it comes to the mind, you know, what are you, when it comes to the mind, when you think about life and the quality of life?
Well, for me, just breathing in and out is life in itself. I was at the gym prior to getting on the show, and a young man said to me, God bless, and I said, well, he did. I get two gifts every morning. I open my left eye and I open my right eye. That's the beginning of success, and for me, that's life. Starts with self and the spiritual part of self, and leisure is everything that brings you joy, whether it's walking around the corner. For myself, I enjoy being at the beach. I actually live in Los Angeles, and I quite often enjoy just going down to Azuma Beach down in Malibu and sitting and listening to the ocean and allowing myself to just refresh.
Excellent. And how about you, Mr. Warren?
For me, it's just doing the things that don't cause me to feel like I'm compromising my peace of mind or my quiet time or the time where I need to be separated from whatever, you know, society, social media, or whatever, you know. And that could look like anything. Like I like to journal. I like to work out. I like to go for walks, but sometimes I just need to be alone. And when that happens, I take that time. And that can look like a lot of things. But as I grow older, you know, I don't put myself in those situations where I felt like I was compromising something, bringing me happiness or peace or a semblance of it, when it's just really stressing me out. You know, I'm thankful to God that, you know, he's shown me another way to, you know, free myself for whatever time I need. So.
Great. And as far as I mean with life, as one of the gentlemen said, to be able to wake up in the morning, to breathe the fresh air, and just to look around upon the earth and appreciate all the creations that the Lord have made is life. To be able to love, you know, it's life within itself, because without love, to me, there is no life. We want to take a five-minute music break here, and we'll grab something to eat if you wish, but we're going to take a five-minute break, and we'll be right back, gentlemen.
All right.
Ooh.
Welcome back, and you've just been listening to Wounded Heart by Jeffrey McKinney. My name is Harold Parker, the moderator of today's final broadcast of Men of Honor Roundtable Discussion, Season 2, Episode 3, on the Tribe Family Channel in association with Gumbo for the Soul publication proudly presents a panel discussion just for men. This Brotherhood Circle converges to encourage and support each other in the areas of health and wellness, life and leisure, balance and soulmates, and lastly, mentors and role model. And again, we have today's guest, Mr. Tayron Mason, a former NFL wide receiver for the New York Jets, Mr. Donald Williams, an Army vet and author, and also Mr. Richard Warren, a vice president of DEI, which is Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, Charleston Metro Chamber of Commerce. Gentlemen, welcome back, and I hope you enjoy your break, and we're going to move on. So we were talking and discussing about life and leisure, and I want to just start off with a question. We often think about our own lives, but what about though the lives of others and how we affect them around us? There are some people that don't value life these days. What words of encouragement would you give them not to give up and to keep hope alive? I want to hear from Mr. Mason first on this particular subject.
That's a good one. Like you said, the way the world is kind of moving and navigating now, a lot of people do have those moments of losing hope and thinking the sun doesn't shine that way. But I always say, like I would tell kids when I read my books or even high school, like, I came up with a slogan, dare to be great. So always push to be great, even at your lowest point. And the men on this panel, I've just met these men today, but I bet any amount of money that, we all have reached moments of low before, but it, even with the encouragement from outside, always knowing, again, I go to that word value again, and, just know your value and know what you bring. Even if you're having those struggle moments, you're here for a reason. Mr. Williams said it about, having that breath every day, opening both eyes. Anytime you can open your eyes and step foot down on the ground or wherever you are, use that as motivation to continue to push and to work on something for yourself and about you each day that you have that opportunity to restart again. Because like you said, some of us don't have that opportunity to restart, and we don't know when that time will come. But if you get that moment every day to open the left and right eye and to breathe, work on one, it can start as simple as one goal, to smile today. This week I want to smile every day this week, even if it's bad times. Then you move on to the next thing. So just keep progressing and keep going up those stairs.
Awesome. How about you, Mr. Williams? What's your take on that? When it comes to there are some people that doesn't value life these days, what words of encouragement would you give them not to give up and to keep hope alive?
Tell them that life really is a gift. And, tomorrow's not promised to us. And we all got somebody that loves us and is delighted that we're here. And, we shouldn't take that for granted. So when people get to that point where if I encounter somebody that's dealing with depression or, dealing with anxiety or thoughts that they want to harm themselves, I tell them, that there's help for that. And, I've been there too. You're not alone. You're not isolated on an island. You're not crazy. You're not stupid. You're just dealing with some emotions right now. And, there are ways to deal with that. So tell them, hey, it's a fight, and our people know how to fight. We don't give up.
Absolutely. I love that. Mr. Warren, when it comes to those words of encouragement, what would you give?
I believe that was actually Mr. Warren who just spoke, and this is Mr. Williams. And words of encouragement are really quite simple. You have to find pleasure in the simplest things. Don't be a person who tries to battle the entire snowball. Take one flake at a time and deal with that. If you have at least one thing in your life that you accomplished that day, that will help you see through to the next day. And each day you take one thing, whether it's nothing more than making your bed that morning. That's an accomplishment. That's something that you can take pride in. I got something accomplished today.
Understood. Gotcha. So we're going to circle back now on the other question here. Mr. Warren, I have a question for you. When it comes to, we're talking about life and leisure, do you feel that since the 60s, the value of people of color lives have changed?
Yeah, that's a good question. It has to an extent. You know, my background is law. So, you know, I'm in tune with the Civil Rights Act of 1964, and all was supposed to bring equality to our people. And in some cases it did. And I think, you know, things like racism and discrimination are less obvious now. But, you know, they're still in pockets. But by and large, you know, as a people, we have more access to a better life through things like better education, and the ability to speak out more and to have a voice in places where we didn't have a voice before. So I wasn't born till the late 70s, but, you know, I respect what was there before I was given life, and I knew the struggles and studied the struggles. And like I said, my mother's 81, and, you know, every now and again she'll get nostalgic and she'll tell me a story, and she's like, you know, me and my daddy used to go downtown, and, you know, if a white person was on the sidewalk, we had to step off and look down and let them pass us, and then we can get back on the sidewalk. And I'm like, wow. Like the things we take for granted, because I'm not doing that now, you know. Wouldn't even consider doing it. So I think we do have some more freedoms, a lot more to be had, but I think we are in a better place than we were in the 60s.
And what's your take on that, Mr. Williams?
I am in complete agreement. Life is just as you see it. If you put yourself in a box, you live in a box. My nephew, who is not only a lawyer, he has his law degree and he's practicing law in Minnesota. He also, prior to that, got his degree in mechanical engineering. So he is leaps and bounds ahead of many of his counterparts, and he's only 30 years old. So the opportunities that are there for us now are far outseed. Far exceed what was there for us before. And it's all about building a foundation, which is what my sister did for her children. You have to have a foundation, whether it's life, love, career. If you don't have a strong foundation, then whatever you put on top of it will eventually fall.
Understood. And Mr. Mason, what is your take on it?
I agree with both Mr. Warner and Mr. Williams, and I'll also say, you know, being in education currently now, and I've been in education since 07, 08, and just seeing as the kids grow and the generations move along, we have more opportunities, but the thing that I see is harder is getting out some of our current kids, black boys and girls, to see what, you know, Mr. Warren was told by his mom, and see how hard it was for our, you know, ancestors, predecessors, and those before us, because their mind is on a different level right now, and have less care than, like, me. I was born in 1980, but I love hearing from the past, from older relatives or any people who I've I ran across. You know, I value that, just like Mr. Warren valued that, Mr. Williams valued that. Now, I try to get our kids now to value that, even though it's they're far removed, but getting them to understand certain things that would have had happened that they would never see again. And not saying it doesn't happen, but it doesn't happen to that degree where, like Ms. Warren said, his mom said, they would have to step off the curve. Right now, you can walk down and people actually speak to you from different colors and value from different cultures, you know. But I agree with those gentlemen and add on the fact that trying to get our current generation to see where we are now from where we were.
Yes, and I agree with all of you gentlemen, and if I can add that in order for people to value us, we have to first value ourselves. Oftentimes we don't realize our worth, and I think that our people really need to go back and look at history, look at some of the wonderful things that we've done, some of the inventions that we've created. So this does add value, and even how we conduct ourselves will help add value to how people really feel about us as a people. Now I want to bring this question up. Due to the fact we do have a new president, considering that he made a promise right after he handled the issues of COVID, and I believe the second promise that he made to the American people in particular was the people of color, that do you find those promises right now when it comes to valuing people of color and racial inequality, do you find that effective right now? What's your take on that? Biden made a promise. President Joe Biden made a promise to the people of color. And I don't want to get too political about it, but I do want to know from you gentlemen, do you feel any effects from the promises that he made during his election? We can start with you, Mr. Mason, this time.
I say not really. To me personally, and it's no knock on anybody in politics, I think politicians have their angles, and they have those people around them that push them to say some of the stuff we want to hear in order to get our vote or get our thumbs up. At the end, you know, just working through my organization and being in the community and, again, working through the school systems and this other facilities, I believe personally with a little help from the government, it would take us. I would say, and I said this quite a few times when the pandemic hit, that the pandemic was an eye-opener. It forced us as people to come together instead of hoping and wishing the next person who comes to office, whether it's the president, whether it's the governors, whether it's mayors, you know, your local representatives, to kind of like save some of us or save our neighborhood. It made a lot of us come together in order to survive, in order to help lift our neighbor up. Some of the things we just talked about where, you know, people did in the 50s, the 40s, the 30s, with that they had to do, we were forced to kind of go back that way and do that during the pandemic, because now it was, okay, the government can only do but so much. Now it's time for us to step up and do our own. You know, it made me see that me personally, not to put my 100% all into politicians or into one person or one organization in the government, but to start doing more myself or start talking to others and, hey, let's come together and let's try to help in this area. Let's try to help in this area.
Awesome. And what is your take, Mr. Williams?
Well,
do you think that the Biden administration have been effective since he's been elected right now, and considering the promises that he made to the people of color, how our lives are affected right now?
I believe, and this is just my belief, that in order for presidential promises to have a true impact on a blanket of people takes time. You can't say, I promise this, and see an immediate change. It just doesn't happen that way. It took President Obama two terms in order to actually make an impactful difference. And you can't just, and these are, once again, my opinion, you can't just say, hey, this is what's going to happen, and I know everybody's going to feel it. I just don't believe that that's possible. And I don't see it for myself.
Understood. All right, Mr. Warren, what do you have to say about that?
I got to agree with my counterparts here. and, you know, I try to, you know, I made my mistakes in my 20s and my 30s and all of that good stuff. And, you know, I got to take responsibility for my own actions in a lot of cases. So I can't ever say that I've really looked for a president to do anything in particular for me. I just try to make, you know, good decisions based on the conditions around me. And I appreciate the president we have now more than the president that we had, but, you know, he's dealing with a lot, you know, pandemic, war. So, you know, I don't know if he's been able to get to the things he wanted to get to that he said he would do. And, you know, I think you got to give him a fair shot and say, you know, maybe he's hadn't had the time, you know. But it starts with me. You know, I got to make good decisions based on what I do. And I let the government do what they
Speaking
do.
Of making decisions, what decisions would you make in order to help or improve things? And we're going to start this time with Mr. Warren.
What I would do to improve things? If you wouldn't mind repeating that question for me one time, sorry. Make sure I got it right.
Right. When it comes to life and leisure right now, what decisions, what would be some of the things that you would do, or what suggestions do you have? And I know it's a very vague question, but let me be specific. What suggestions would you make in order to help improve things such as life and leisure? Let's say just for the young people, what would you say to them today that are full of energy and full of life that has no sense of direction?
You know, I would tell them to try to find their passion. You know, when we look back over history and you find a person that, you know, became famous and, you know, or a professional, and Mr. Mason, you're pretty sure you find your passion for that early on, and you put your thumb on it and you stuck with it, and you made it to the highest level of that occupation, of that sport. And, you know, how many people can do that? You know, it's the ones that, you know, have the God-given talent, but also took the time to find that passion and stuff when you did something about it, you know. So I would tell them not to waste their energy on frivolous things, you know, chasing things that don't lead to anything. And, you know, in the fullness of time, you got to let a youthful person be a youthful person. Fools used to be young fools, you know, so... got to let them mature, you know, and come about. But, you know, I just I look at those people like, you know, like say Mr. Mason, you know, NFL play. You know, I've never had the opportunity to be in a conversation with a professional football player. You know, this is an honor tonight, truly. You know, you look at people in the musical world that, you know, we see as famous. They find that talent and they put their thumb on it and they put their energy behind it. You know, I'm sure Mr. Mason cut out a lot of things in his youth that he probably wanted to do, but he found that passion and he made those sacrifices, because you don't get to that without sacrifice. So I'm sure there were plenty of things his friends were doing that he probably wanted to do, but he had a goal in mind. And, you know, me being on the phone tonight inspires me, because, you know, I could tell my son, you know, I was on the phone with an NFL player tonight, you know, like.
Absolutely.
You can do it. You whatever it is, whatever that thing looks like, you know, you want to be an engineer, you want to be an astronaut, you want to be a car mechanic, you want to be a carpenter, you know, be a good one. Put your energy towards it and make it happen. And I think that brings about a level of satisfaction in the later years that, you know, you can look back and be proud of. So that's what I'd say about that.
Awesome. And I'm also an engineer, so I definitely can relate to you. As I'm an electronic engineer and also an inventor of the world's first digital license plate. Oh, wow. I can definitely relate to you. And so with that said, we got a lot. I'm going to try to run a little bit quicker than what we're doing here so we can make some quick comments. That'll be great because I definitely had a lot of questions to ask you guys. I hope I don't wear you out, but, you know, when it comes to an important thing as far as in men, I feel like we don't have enough talk or discussion or therapeutic sessions for us. Unlike the ladies, you know, they're more extroverts when it comes to discussing things versus us, we're introverts where we internalize things. Therefore, we end up getting heart attacks and things like that. Versus if we did have these conversations, we can, you know, we may alleviate sickness and things like that that we do internalize. So I want to know your take on the same thing, Mr. Wims, about how we can make things, improve things. Also, what would you suggest to say or to say to young people that are full of energy and full of life that has no sense of direction? What would you say to them?
Purposely plan to make a difference. Don't have it by accident. Purposely plan to make a difference. And that can be on a minuscule level to opening a door for someone handicapped, to seeing someone on the street hungry and giving them a sandwich. Purposely plan to make a difference. Once you've done something like that, the joy of life itself will fill you.
I'm loving that. How about you, Buster Mason?
First, I'd like to thank Mr. Warren. I appreciate that. And I'm, you know, I'm, you know, hearing everyone else's background, you know what I mean? I'm all ears, and I appreciate, you know, being on this call with you gentlemen and where you guys have come from. And just like Mr. Warren said, Mr. Williams said, is, you know, my thing is being purposeful and being on point with it. If it's something you want to do, you know, kind of like cutting that white noise, you know. I had things I'd done when I was young that could have put me in different positions, and I had to, you know, kind of answer to myself of what am I doing or where do I want to go, you know what I mean? Being able to separate from the stuff that I was doing to where I wanted to get to, you know, and finding that person that you can grab hold on to, not physically, but just grab hold on to that can give you those that wisdom and that words and take it. You know, my mentoring program, along with my good friend Matt Elliott, you know, we had the 7th through 8th grade boys, and we would tell them. We had the kids that were pushed to the side that was deemed behavior problems, and we was giving them tools on helping them grow, not telling them how to change what they were doing, but how to adapt in their environment and to be successful. So, you know, if it's something, and I always say when I would speak to kids, there's nothing wrong with being a nerd, you know, because I did the same thing, you know, so if you know something, be proud that you know it. You know, don't downplay yourself to fit in a certain group. You know, take yourself to a higher standard to where you are and where you should be, and that will help you grow.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Now, moving on to the topic of balance and soulmates, and I enjoyed that answer, Mr. Mason. And we are, I'm thrilled just to be with you gentlemen, you know, NFL players, an Army vet, and the vice president of a DEI. Those are some good, high-quality, high-profile positions to be in, especially now. And I'm very proud of each of you. And, again, I'm very honored to be on the same platform as you. So definitely welcome again. I just wanted to touch on the basis of balance and soulmate. The first question I have for you gentlemen is, what would you consider a person that is balanced, and what attributes do they possess? I'll start with you, Mr. Mason.
So a person that is balanced to me, I have to say, and I guess I might be being biased, is my wife. She balances me out. It helps me stay balanced, you know, with playing in the NFL and doing stuff in the community, you know, and I'm an outgoing person. You know, my wife is kind of a background person. but she also gave me words that helped me stay level. So I would say a person that helped balance you out based off of where you are and what your position and what your personality type. Again, since I'm like the outgoing person in our relationship and she's kind of more the laid back person in a relationship, she kind of balances me out to be able to relax at times. And sometimes the roles can switch where she's more into the forefront and I can stay back. So I would say just finding that person, friend, soulmate, spouse that can help balance you out and keep you leveled.
Awesome. Mr. Williams, what do you consider a person that's balanced and what are their attributes that you, from your take?
In my opinion, balance is knowing how to navigate whatever situation presents itself to you in a way that it has a positive impact on those around you. I pour my positive energy into everything I do. If I see someone who is quiet and withdrawn, I want them to be on my energy level, so I make it a purpose to seek them out and draw them out of that shell, because being in that shell leaves you alone. Being alone by choice is different than just being alone. So balance is being able to know how to navigate through whatever situation that presents itself to have a positive outcome.
That's awesome. And not everyone is able to do that because they don't have any grounds, and that'll be something I'll get to later. But some don't have a know-how or a sense of where to go to find that balance in their life. But I want to hear from Mr. Warren first before we start jumping into something else. You guys got me excited about this particular topic. Mr. Warren, what would you define as a person that's balanced? You know, what attributes would you look for a person like that?
I'm still looking for it, man. I don't know if I'm qualified to answer this one, man. But, you know, I've been in situations where, you know, people probably done the same to them. I don't want to make it sound like, you know, I'm a victim or anything, but we probably caused each other unnecessary stress, not being mature and not really considering what that other person needs at a given time, because we don't all need the same thing at the same time, same way, you know. So being able to, you know, truly see what the need is at that time and responding to her needs and have her respond to my needs is somebody that would be my definition of a soulmate. And, you know, to have a soulmate, you got to be a soulmate. And, you know, in regards to relationships, I got to be honest. In my youth, I was very irresponsible with the opposite sex. And, you know, I think that's paying now, you know, but I'm at a point now where I do want that level of companionship and closeness with someone. And, you know, I'm going to let God bring it to me this time instead of me going hunting and searching myself. I'm going to sit and wait.
Awesome. Awesome. Now, gentlemen, I'm winding down to the last 15 minutes, so I want to move quickly on these questions here. Some people struggle with balance given they are single parents, have children, and work long hours. What would you suggest to them in order for them to still be considered a good catch for a potential significant other as far as imbalance concerned? Mr. Williams, I wanted to start with you.
Know your value. You have a lot on your plate. You accomplish a lot. But if you don't know your value in life, then you're chasing your tail. Know your value. When you know your value and you understand your value, your inner light shines and you draw attention to yourself just by knowing your value and allowing it to shine through you.
I like that. Mr. Warren, I'm sorry. How about you, sir?
For me, you know, I met a young lady, and she was in that situation. I would look to make sure that she's taking care of what she needs to take care of without making me feel like she's putting down her responsibilities to chase after a man, because if you do that, then I'm a question whether, you know, you have your priorities put in the right place. So for me, I would look to see if she was managing that situation to the best of her ability, you know, whether she's relying on her tribe, her family, you know, but making sure that she's taking care of her priorities. And, you know, like I said, that would draw me in versus a woman out there that is, you know, got children and is trying so hard to get a man that she's putting everything else down to go find that man. And then what?
Awesome. And that's very powerful that you said that, because I look at our queens out here, and they are really doing it. As I said the last show, they are movers and shakers. And, you know, they're not asking too much from us brothers. I won't get into that subject today, but for now, I definitely want Mr. Mason's opinion about this. Mr. Mason?
Mr. Williams and Mr. Warren said it, and I think we said it a few times during the course of the show, that V word, value, you know, knowing your value. And then what Mr. Warren said was super important, because we do have sometimes, you know, ladies who will jeopardize and put their responsibilities, their kids, and their value on the line to get a catch and to basically to take care of another kid, you know what I mean, which is supposed to be an adult male, because they want their companionship, and sometimes they devalue themselves to do that. But like Mr. Williams and Mr. Warren said, knowing your value and knowing that whatever your responsibility is higher than getting the catch. Because if you get the catch, and the catch, you know, okay, and respect the fact that she is a moving shaker, she's a hustler, with doing her things that she need to do for her household, herself, and for her kids, that I will merge into it, and I will fall right in place along with what she's doing.
Great. Gentlemen, I want to ask you something, and you can feel free to just elaborate a little bit on this. How do you distinguish the difference between an attractive distraction versus a soulmate? And again, let me repeat that question. How do you distinguish between the difference? Because this has been a problem. Distinguish the difference between an attractive distraction versus a soulmate. And sound like someone who spoke first, because I definitely want, if the road sound like it's rolling out the song, who spoke first?
That was me. That was Mr. Waring.
Mr. Waring, I want you to go right on ahead and elaborate.
That's a beautiful question, brother.
Yes, it is.
That's a deep question, too. I'm going to be honest, man. That attractive distraction ain't coming home to mama. You know, we're going to do what we do, and, you know, I probably look to her for some form of entertainment or fun or recreation, but on those matters of the heart, those serious matters, I need that person that I can lean on, you know, and also I need to be there for her to lean on, because, you know, men can be an attractive distraction as well, you know, so... Just, you know, looking at both sides of the ball, man, I used to just worry about me and what I wanted, and that was so unfair to a lot of people. Now I just try to, you know, make sure what I can give and what can be given to me is balanced. So, good question, man.
Awesome, man. Thank you, Mr. Wells. I appreciate that. let's say, Mr. Mason, how would you distinguish the difference between an attractive distraction versus a soulmate?
Yeah, I had the last two, and that was a good one for the end of the night. But I guess it comes with where your mind is. As soon as you started asking that question, I took myself back to the early 20s, mid 20s,
late 20s, you know, and what was my target, you know, when I was out and about, what was my target, opposed to someone that was a target, but I guess the way my mind was set up wasn't the bullseye that I meant to hit. As I grew, and again, going on the speed bumps, the things we do as men sometimes, you know, it took something major, you know, like my dad passing in 2011, to be able to see that soulmate was right in front of my face, but I kept pushing it to the side, you know. And once that happened, and, you know, her just, even though what I've done and, you know, and pushing her away, she kept coming back. She texts me, and, you know, I heard about your dad. I know you guys are real close. I'm sorry about your dad. That's when it struck, like, all this time I'm running and gunning, and the person was right there. And from that instant, that's when I was like, I got to shift my mind state, you know, and I got to not allow this to leave again. You know what I mean? Now, you know, we've been married for 7 years, but we've been together for 14. That was my soulmate, my current wife. But I had my moments where I was like, that's not the attraction right now. And of being locked down, even though she, you know, was there and wanted to be with me, I didn't see that because my mind was elsewhere. My mind was, man, I'm out and about. It was Friday? Oh, yeah, I'm gone. Saturday? Oh, yeah, I'm out here. Rest on Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, back at it again. But again, knowing that person, it doesn't have to be that glamour, you know, to catch your eye, you know what I mean? And so I had to change that mind state.
Awesome. Well, Mr. Warren, what do you have to say about that, sir?
Man, you had Warren, they got Mr. Williams. Yeah, he was the first up, and Mr. Williams is bringing in the tail end. And
okay,
the question, that's okay. The question speaks for itself. Attraction, soulmate. If you look at that and evaluate what it says, a soulmate that resonates within, that's something that you will have forever versus the attraction that will come and go. Very simply put.
Awesome. We're going to talk about emotional intelligence. Why is this so important to possess when finding that right soulmate? Can you give me maybe two examples? We're going to start with you, Mr. Williams.
So when you're thinking what it is that you want to say and your soulmate speaks what you are thinking, you're done. You're in. You're set. You're on the right path.
Yes, yes. I'm going to ask this in a different way to Mr. Warren. Mr. Warren, when it comes to emotional intelligence, there's this saying that conflict reveals character. So can you give me an example where you would look out of for a soulmate in the case where you may have a conflict that you would like to look for that type of character, or what type of character would you like to look out for that soulmate? Can you give me an example?
I think I can. Mason said a little bit ago, when his father passed, the woman that now is his wife was there all the time, and she gave him that level of support that he needed at that moment. My father passed 2 years before yours, Mr. Mason, so he passed in 2009, and there was a woman that I was seeing, and, you know, at that time, I just wanted to be alone. We weren't in a serious relationship, but she was trying to force her way in on me because I guess she felt I was vulnerable at that time, and that just pushed her away in my mind's eye to where I'm like, I don't really want anything to do with you because you're taking me in this vulnerable state, and you're trying to force your will upon me. So to me, in regards to emotional intelligence, she lost it, whatever feeling I had for her during that time, because I'm like, if this is the way you handle this situation, I can't expect you to handle any other hard situation much differently. You're going to turn it into your energy versus, you know, being the support that I need at that time.
Awesome. And I know, Mr. Mason, I have you left to speak on something, but I'm going to kind of switch lanes here and just allow you to speak on this subject here before we go to the final subject. There's a trend now that's happening. It's called narcissism that's going on. And so I wanted you to speak a little bit about it, if you know much about it, if you can just speak on it. Have you encountered it, or do you know anyone that have encountered it? If so, what would be your advice of someone getting out of that particular relationship or that influence of their, you know, their control on their manipulation tactics, you know, because they do have a thirst for control. So I would like to hear from you about that, Mr. Mason.
I have heard of it, and I didn't experience it personally, but know people who have. The key is being there for that person, whether family or friend, because a lot of times you don't know fully what's going on. Being there for that person, giving them resources, and letting them know it's okay, and even though it might seem as if, you know, if you do open up, that it will cause trouble, to, you know, being that safe haven for them and pointing them in the right direction. And, you know, again, just being that ear. You know, a lot of times we would like people to do what we think is right for them, but is it right for that situation at that time and for them, and can help them in a positive way where it won't cause physical, emotional or mental harm? So again, is being that true ear and that true resource for somebody or people.
Understood. I can feel Mr. Warren wanting to come in on that. Mr. Warren, any suggestions, sir?
You know, I gotta agree with what Mr. Mason said. I don't have anything to add or take away from that one. You know, these questions and that just make me very thought filled, and I just really appreciate this opportunity. But I'm gonna go in agreement. I'm gonna concede on that one.
Not a problem, Mr. Wim. Real quick.
Absolutely. Never ignore the red flag. And we can all speak to our past when we were about to do something and the voice inside us said, wait, are you sure you want to do that? And the other side of us said, yeah, I got to do this. When the voice says, okay, well, you're going to pay the price afterwards. And we didn't listen. The red flag spoke and we chose not to listen. And therefore, the outcome was just as the red flag had warned us. And we all have those red flags, but sometimes we choose to ignore those red flags and say, you know what, this is what I really want, when in actuality, it's the worst thing for you.
Absolutely. And I just wanted to add that anytime that happens, you've, instead of being a victim, you've actually become a volunteer. So, and you also have to know your worth. You know, start loving yourself enough to respect yourself enough to get out of that situation. So I want to go ahead and hit role models, mentors, and role models real quick. If you guys can give me one role model, and I know you have many, but if you have one to choose from real quick, Mr. Mason, who would you choose as a good role model and mentor?
I would choose my brother, and I know it might be cliche, but the reason why I choose my brother, because I just turned 42 on Saturday, so I just had a birthday on April the 16th, and my brother is 45. He'll be 46 on May 16th. I saw him when he was 37, you know, give me a call and say, hey, I'm joining the Air Force Reserves. And I'm like, huh? And he's like, yeah, I'm going to go do it. And he's the type that, you know, if he's told no, he's going to keep doing it until he shows you why he did it. And so to watch his transition from, you know, just working a regular job and getting tired of it and wanting something more for his son, my nephew, and actually joining and he's killing it, you know, and he's full-time now. That was kind of like my role model. You know, of course, along with my dad and my mom, but definitely him, because prior to that, anybody in my family that was in the military, they did it when they was 18, 19. But for him to take on that journey at the age of 37, knowing that he would have a lot of doubters, I was just like, man, you know, and, you know, that's like my role model for myself, you know. And, you know, some people might think it's crazy because, like, oh, man, you went to a good college, you graduated, you played in the NFL, you got football cards, blah, blah, blah. But even the guy that reaches his pinnacle still has somebody that helped him get there, somebody that keeps them mellow and that they watch to help them grow. And, you know, seeing him doing what he did, you know, in the Air Force, and even to a point when he first moved in Georgia, at one point where he was waiting to get an apartment, he was living out of his car, but he refused to come back home. I was like, yeah, that's somebody that I will value for the rest of my life.
Wow, what a story, man! I'm right now at all hearing that, but that is so wonderful. And you brought up as far as the military, going into the military, we do have Mr. Donald Williams. I'm very interested to know what his take is and who his mentor is. Now that you have one, I want to know what the actual Army vet has to say about this. Who's your mentor, Mr. Williams? Who would you consider a mentor or role model?
I have to say I had to become my own. My father, God rest his soul, he just passed last August. He was an alcoholic, abusive minister, drug addict. So I had to teach myself how to be a man, how to fail as a husband and become better as a man, and how to continue to grow based on his failures. So it's been a never-ending battle, and I know that I am worlds ahead of where he was at any point in his life. Even though he went to college and I never did, I had to be my own role model. I had to, as we say in the military, grab myself by the bootlaces, pull them tight, and keep stepping.
That's awesome. There's a book about me called Electric Dreams. I'm featured in the book. And I have an identical twin brother, and a lot of people that see in the hope in us. Your story sort of reminds me of mine, where we were just trying to find our way full of energy but needed that direction. We did have supportive parents and everything, but still there was they were divorced. But at the same token, we end up learning, and we had good examples, but as far as being a husband and also being an example and, you know, actually having that self-enthusiasm and motivation to do things, we really had to make up our minds. What to be is up to me. What to do is up to you. And these were slogans that I live and die by that was in elementary school. So I do get that, Mr. Wells. Mr. Warrington, what about you? What do you consider a good mentor and role model?
You know, as I live this life and, you know, I see how much of a flawed individual I am, you know, I know I need a savior. So I got it. My role model is, you know, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So every day I strive to be a little bit more of a better man. I know, you know, perfection was achieved once on this earth, and that was through him. But every day I could be a little bit better than I was and, you know, try to impact people in a different way than I have before and be more responsible with the gift he's given me and be a better steward and be a better neighbor and a loving man and a good father and, you know, just be mindful of the things that he's given me and the sacrifice that he made for me on Calvary's cross. And that's my answer for that one.
Awesome. I just wanted to say here, and I really love that your answer there, Mr. Warren. It is written, Mark the Perfect Man. I just wanted to bring to everyone's attention and remind you to submit to book Men of Honor via Gumbo for the Soul publication at gumbofortheSoulInternational.com. Now, before we leave, I wouldn't leave without having the gentlemen to actually give us a way to tell us how to connect with you, and a shout-out to your businesses. So I would love for you to start off, Mr. Mason. How can we get connected with you? And, you know, since you're a wide receiver and things like that, you may have a Facebook page. I don't know. How can we stay connected?
Oh, yes, sir, definitely. And, again, man, I appreciate the you know, opportunity to come on your show. This is a great, great show to see, and glad I got to meet Mr. Williams and Mr. Warren. And on LinkedIn, you know, it's Tavon Mason. I'm on Twitter at tmason18. My organization Twitter is tmltkf. My website is www.tavonmasonlovesthekids.org. I have all my books on there. I also started back in 2018 my own beard butter, like my own beard products. Instagram is Tavon's Beard Butter, Mr. Underscore T Mason, and Tavon Mason Love the Kids. And on Facebook is Tavon Mason and the Tavon Mason Love the Kids Foundation.
Awesome. Mr. Williams, how can we get stay connected with you, sir, and your what's your business and publication?
I am very easy to find. I am on LinkedIn. I am on Instagram. I am on Facebook, all in the same way, Donald L. Williams, Jr. Very easy to find. I am on all my social media all day long. I actually have just over 6,000 connections on LinkedIn. I've been doing that for about 15 years. So that has allowed me to be able to grow it the way that I have. My Facebook is mostly for family. However, I can be found there, Donald L. Williams, Jr. And the same on Instagram. It's mostly for family with a few close friends, Donald L. Williams, Jr.
Awesome. Awesome. Mr. Warren, how about you?
I'm not as famous as these two gentlemen, but I do have LinkedIn. It's Richard Waring, W-A-R-I-N-G. And you can also look me up on the Charleston Metro Chamber of Commerce's website.
Oh, this is awesome. And I myself, being the inventor of the world's first digital license plate and also an electronic engineer, IT professional for over 20 years, you can look me up at haroldcparker@hotmail.com, or you can look me up on Facebook and LinkedIn as Harold C. Parker Sr. Gentlemen, I want to thank you once again for having you on the show. It's truly been a pleasure. And I just want you to know that it's a privilege to talk and speak with you again. So to all that are listening, if you got the connections, go check these gentlemen's books out. They'll hear their stories. Follow them. And I want everyone to be blessed and have a great night.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
To look up to. I never found anyone who fulfilled my needs.